Hi, everyone. Wherever you are in the world, welcome to Beyond Willpower with Dr. Alex Lloyd. I'm Kathy Perkins, and I'm your host for this evening. But first, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Dr. Lloyd. He has a PhD in psychology and has a doctorate in natural medicine. He's an international best-selling author of The Healing Code, and he's been featured live on NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, and PBS news programs as an expert in healing the source of issues underlying illness and disease. He was the subject of a PBS special about the healing codes and healing the source of problems versus managing symptoms. The Healing Code is currently being printed in more than 17 countries and 16 languages and is a number one bestseller in 11 categories on Amazon. Beyond Willpower, Dr. Lloyd's new book, was just released, and on release day it was labeled a hot new release on Amazon. There's already been an article on Oprah.com about it, and it's only been out for about 15 days. So I'm sure you will see two-time international best-selling author very soon. At the end of this call, we'll be having a question and answer time, and I'll let you know how that works when we get there. But now, the reason you are all here, Dr. Alex Lloyd. Alex?
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
Sorry, I was muted. I was just talking away, folks. Thank you for being here tonight. I'm out of town at my son's basketball tournament that starts tomorrow and goes through Saturday. I've really been praying and meditating over kind of how to go about this tonight. Kathy, if you can see my phone number, if for any reason I happen to cut out, just call me if you can. I don't think that'll happen, but I usually do these from my office. But anyway, I didn't want to just, you know, kind of parrot or repeat what's already in the book, because if you're on this call, you've got the book. I wanted to try to give you something that's not in there, something some background, some going further, going deeper, that sort of thing. So I hope I can do that. And during our Q&A time, if you do have questions about what is in the book, I'll be happy to do the best I can to answer those. You know, since the book came out, I probably had at least 50 people who have who I know who have emailed me, called me, texted me. One person wrote me an actual mail letter, snail mail, and mailed it to me, saying that they thought I should have put the epilogue to the book as the introduction to the book, that it was their favorite part, and they thought that should have been the first part. And I appreciated them saying that very much, because the material in the epilogue is the most important part to me of the book. But the reason I didn't do that, I actually thought about it. The reason I didn't do that is because one of the dangers of a book like this to me, the publishers and editors and you know, the foreign publishers, Kathy, that's some old information you have. I think the Healing Codes is in like 26, 20, 28 countries now, and at least high teens, maybe even 20 languages. So that must be from a couple of years ago. We need to update that. But anyway, I know a number of those publishers in other countries because they've invited me to those countries to lecture about the book on book tours and things. And so far, every one of them had said, this is a much better book than The Healing Code. But they've also said, but, you know, it's so much deeper and it's so much more complicated and it's so much more, you know, in the spiritual and theoretical realm. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with it, okay? And I knew that when I wrote it, and that's why I did not put the epilogue first. I put it at the end because what I wanted to put at the very first, the very first thing almost that people read is that there is nothing in your life that is as practical as this. The problem with things that we think of as, you know, deep and, you know, theoretical, although most of the stuff in the book is not theoretical to me, but things kind of in the spiritual realm and, you know, we think, okay, that's a wonderful thing, you know, to sit around with a cup of coffee and have a wonderful, you know, discussion, you know. It's just fun to do that sometimes, at least some personalities, and I'm one of those personalities. My wife probably wouldn't be, hope. But then we think, but, maybe it's not all that practical to my life, to how I feel right now, how I feel when I get up in the morning, the kind of job I do at my work, and whether I advance and get promotions or have breakthroughs and achievements and get raises and, you know, things like that, or whether I don't and I'm always struggling and maybe getting laid off. Why am I always the one that gets laid off, you know? And whether, you know, my relationship with my wife and my children and my parents and my neighbors and the people that I work with are really, really fabulous, you know, and we love each other and we like each other and we laugh and we invite each other over to our houses on special occasions and maybe not even special occasions. And then my health, you know, man, those are the practical things of life. Those are the things that really make a difference, you know. So yeah, it's great to, you know, have this book that's really deep that we sit around and discuss. Hey, almost kind of, you know, back in college, what's the meaning of life sort of discussions. But it's really not that practical. Okay. So yeah, maybe it's something I like and even recommend and love to talk about. But then I like put that in its box and put the lid on and go to another place about these really practical things in my life. Well, I wanted to start with the absolute, I believe, gospel truth that there is nothing in your life more practical than this. It is not possible for anything in your life to be more practical than this. This is what determines how you feel when you wake up. This is what determines whether you achieve and advance and get promotions or not. This is what determines those relationships. This is what determines whether you're, you know, if someone asks you the question, you know, anonymously maybe, because depending on who asks you the question, you might not be totally honest about this answer. Hey, are you happy? Anybody ask you that lately? Have you thought about that lately? Are you happy? Okay. And if you say, well, like most people I know, you sort of think about it. Well, yeah, I guess so. Okay. Well, how happy are you? Minus 10 to plus 10. How happy are you? Or, a little bit, moderately, or a lot, or, you know, however you want to scale that, you know. Are you happy, okay? Could you be happier? What would it take in your life for you to be happier than you are now. Okay? This is what determines that. This is the source of that. It's not how hard you go out there and try with your willpower. Man, you do that when this underlying stuff is not right, and you may do better for a while, but a year down the road, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, you're going to break, all right? Because if you're doing it through willpower alone, that's one of the things I describe in the book. That's the research from Stanford, for crying out loud. You're going to break, and chances are it's not going to work very good in the first place, right? But you get this source stuff right. You get your programming to be love-based instead of fear-based. And you're not now having to try with your willpower to be successful or to put the hours in or to do a great job instead of just an okay job or really, really listen and want to listen to your spouse. Ever think about just that one? Not being able to wait to have a conversation with your spouse. And listen. You're not having to try to. It's your programming now. And man, she knows, wow, he really seems interested in me now. I don't have to try to get him to listen. He's either a great actor or he's wanting to listen. All right? And the example one of the examples I gave in the book was going from before this happened to me, when my most detested thing in the world was cleaning toilets, and I thought it was beneath me. I hated it. If I did it, I was like grumbling under my breath, you know, and thinking negative thoughts, and I just can't wait to stop this so I can go do something else, and why do I have to do this anyway, to cleaning toilets and spontaneously singing for joy while I was cleaning toilets. And Hope couldn't believe it. She knew how I felt about cleaning toilets. So she came to find me because she just knew, hearing me singing like that, I was not doing my job. I was not cleaning the toilets. And to her surprise, she comes, and there I am on my knees cleaning the toilet, singing for joy. And she's like, "What has happened to you?" Well, the beyond willpower process is what happened to me, and it's been happening to me ever since. And I am going to refer to the book for this, because this is, I guess, just like in the book, the first thing that I want you to get tonight is we have a success switch and a failure switch in our brain and nervous system. We really, really do. This is not just metaphorical. This is physical, actual, measured, documented, okay? When the failure switch is turned on, it dumbs you down, makes you sick, drains your energy, suppresses your immune system, increases pain. If you're not already in pain, you start feeling pain. It raises your blood pressure, closes your cells so that if you stay in this state long enough, eventually a disease gene manifests that wouldn't have manifested any other way. That research is in the book, too. It destroys relationships because it makes you totally self-centered. It causes fear, anger, depression, confusion, shame, worth issues, identity issues, on and on and on. And it causes you to do whatever you're doing from a negative perspective, like me cleaning the toilet, even if you manage to fake it and paint on a happy face. That's what happens when the failure switch is turned on in your brain. Not sometimes, not maybe, every time. And based on my research and based on the clinical research that is independent of me at major universities, this is all in the book, the great majority of people have their failure switch turned on and their success switch turned off the majority of the time. That's why, according to medical science, our bodies really are designed to live to about 120 years old. Okay? Why don't they do that? Because of stress. And according to medical science, our bodies and minds are designed for us to routinely live to 100 and beyond and healthy and active. It should be the norm. The exception should be when that doesn't happen. So we're losing basically a third of our lifespan and probably a quarter to a third of our healthy lifespan. Why? Because our failure switch is turned on and our success switch is turned off. On the other hand, when your success switch is turned on and the failure switch is turned off, what happens? Enhanced relationship, increased parental bonding, in fact, bonding with really every relationship, love, joy, peace. Anybody care for that one? Anybody want to feel that one 16, 18 hours a day, not just once every 4 months? Love, joy, peace, all right? Increases your immune function, reduces stress, lowers blood pressure, counteracts addiction and withdrawal, stimulates the release of human growth hormone. You interested in growing younger instead of older? Even though you're growing older chronologically, you can reverse that aging biologically. It increases trust and wise judgment, modulates appetite, healthy digestion and metabolism, promotes healing, stimulates relaxation, stimulates non-stress energy, stimulates higher neurological activity, and opens cells to healing and regeneration. And these mechanisms in the brain are exclusive. If failure is turned on, success will be turned off. If success is turned on, it can only happen when failure is turned off. Okay? That's why I did not put the epilogue first. It's because I wanted very quickly one of the first things for people to read right at the first of the book to be, this is the most practical thing for your health, your relationships, your success, your achievement, how you feel, happiness, unhappiness, of anything in your life. This determines all of those things, like 1 + 1 = 2. And finally, after hundreds of years, we have the technology so that on demand, you can turn failure off and success on. Now, the time it takes is different for everybody, all right? For one person, it's within 24 hours. For another, it's maybe 24 months of slow and steady, okay? Very rarely takes that long, usually 40 days, as we talk about in the book, okay? But understand, it's taken not just decades, but generations for you to become programmed in your brain, spiritual heart, and nervous system to the degree that you are now or when you first became aware of this material, all right? Decades, lifetimes, generations, hundreds of years, all right? It can take a little time to remove those human hard drive viruses, which is a really good analogy of what they are and how they function in your life, and then put in new software and a new operating system that is love-based and produces joy, peace, patience, happiness, success, good, positive thoughts, feelings, etc., not to mention health, okay? I've had a bunch of people since the book came out ask me, okay, so you've got this healing code system, and now you've got this Beyond Willpower system, and, you know, what you say about them, there's a lot of overlap, and it sounds alike to some degree. So what's the deal? Are you just trying to make more money by writing this, or which one should I do first, or what? Okay. Beyond Willpower, outside of my relationship with God and my family and other relationships, is probably the biggest passion of my life, and that is not anything new. It started in 1988 when this saved my life, okay? It's what I started doing in my private practice with every one of my clients until the healing codes came along. And then the healing codes healed my wife of something that nothing else had been able to touch. And that's another question I've been asked. Why didn't she do Beyond Willpower? Because Beyond Willpower didn't exist then, for one reason. All of the three tools were discovered and developed at different times. And the last one was the reprogramming statements, which is the one that would have done it for her. She's very verbal. She's very left brain. She wants to see it. She wants words. She was not able to visualize, so the heart screen meditation was out for her, okay? The energy medicine technique, she experienced some benefit from, but it did not take away her depression, okay? And when I tried to explain the theory to her at that time, of giving up the end result, focusing in the present and love, et cetera, it's like I was speaking Greek or something. And she just absolutely did not get that at all from that place of depression. Now, she does today, okay? But that's part of that too, okay? So then I took the healing code into my private practice, and it started doing the same thing with diabetes and cancer and all that sort of thing. So all of a sudden, it's like I've got this tiger by the tail with the healing codes, and all of this Beyond Willpower information, which was not remotely complete yet at that time anyway, was put on the shelf for the most part. But it was always my passion. Not the three tools, but the principles. What I've called the greatest principle in the world that almost nobody knows, that is the underlying principles and the principles of spiritual physics, which is also in the Beyond Willpower book and what I call practical spirituality. All right. So my advice would be to do the Beyond Willpower process from start to finish, okay, but to use the healing code and the master key, if you have it, as the energy medicine tool rather than the energy medicine tool in Beyond Willpower simply because it's more powerful, okay? But everything else, the entire process and principles, of course, I would do from Beyond Willpower. The healing code is basically a tool with enough theory and principle to cause it to make sense. And that's what it's always been. Beyond Willpower is primarily principles to live by, spiritual principles to live by, and a paradigm of how you can commit to live your life from now on with some tools thrown in to help you do that. So they're really almost kind of opposites, okay? Okay. When Hope kicked me out of the house, I'm going to go just one other place and then we'll open it for Q&A. When Hope kicked me out of the house, it was kind of the last straw for me. I hit rock bottom. I thought I didn't want to live anymore because my life was over anyway. It's beyond words. I can't put into words how I felt. And I pretty much decided I'm going to just throw everything overboard. Everything I've been taught growing up, everything by my parents for the most part, religion, spirituality, everything. Because I don't know what's contributed to me failing at everything in my life and what hasn't. Because I'd tried to do religion right, the way I was brought up to do it. Couldn't do it. Okay? I don't think anybody can do it right. All right? I tried the self-help stuff, all right? I went in my 20s on road trips out of town to go listen to authors of self-help books lecture, okay? One of them was the author of The Road Less Traveled, M. Scott Peck. And I went to another city, bought a ticket, paid to stay in a hotel that I couldn't afford to stay in because I thought, you know, from his book, man, it really sounds like this guy's got the answer, okay? And I did what he said and what many others said by the letter of the law, did it right, okay? It wasn't like I was sitting on the couch somewhere just, you know, doing everything wrong and not or not caring. I mean, I knew I've got one life, man. This is it. I don't want to blow it. I want to do it right, okay, in every way, in whatever work I do, in my marriage, in my relationships as a father. I want to do it right, okay? I want a good life, a happy life. But my results were the polar opposite. Unhappiness, health problems, bankruptcy, and then with hope kicking me out the last straw. And so I decided I was going to throw everything overboard. And then that night, I felt like God asked me a question, okay? Didn't hear any audible voice. It was in my head, but last person I thought it was me because of what the question was. Do you really love hope? And, you know, I'd said 1,000 times I loved her, to her, to my parents, to myself, to my friends, you know, to my brother. And then came kind of another response from God, not a question, but not only do you not love hope, you don't even know what love is, which offended me, okay? And actually, it shocked me. Wherever that came from, it shocked me. But then over the next few weeks, I realized it was absolutely true. But during that time, when I threw everything overboard and I started seeking again, because I obviously had not found it, whatever it is, I went to Middle Tennessee State University, a big state university here in Tennessee, to hear John Clayton lecture, who at the time was literally a NASA rocket scientist, a aerospace engineer who worked for NASA. And he decided that he was finally, because of his genius brain and his training in physics and mathematics, he was going to put an end to all this God spirituality stuff because he did not, in his words, did not believe. He knew that there was no God, there was no spirituality, all right? It was only the natural world. So he set out to write a book that would prove once and for all by mathematics and physics that there is no God, there is no spiritual reality, et cetera. To make a long story short, he ended up proving to himself that there is no other possible way except there is a God or spiritual reality. And I won't go into that. I could talk for hours about that, about what he said that really impacted me. but I'll give you the bottom line. He said, let me try to put this in layman's terms with an analogy. He said, it's kind of like this. He said, according to the mathematics and physics of, you know, the Earth being exactly the right distance from the sun so that we don't burn up, but we also don't freeze, so that the Earth spins exactly the right way so gravity doesn't suck us down into the ground or we don't fly out of the atmosphere, the oxygen thing, the water thing, and a whole bunch of other things, okay? And he calculated the odds of each one of those happening that were not from him. It was from other highly respected experts in the field. And then when he totaled those things up, the odds of all of those things happening were way, way, way beyond a figure that even in science and mathematics is considered to be not improbable, not once a millennia, not once in a billion years, but impossible. This cannot happen, okay, by natural chance. And he said, the analogy is, let's say you took a pocket watch and he pulled out a pocket watch. And he said, this is one of the old-timey ones that you wind up. And let's say I took this thing completely apart, and he told how many parts it had. And I don't remember that, but it was a lot, 100 and something or something like that, including the chain and all. He said, let's say I took all those 100 and something parts apart, the little screws and everything, put them in a big paper grocery bag, take that grocery bag to the top of Mount Everest, and shake it up violently, and then open the top, grab the bag by the bottom, and fling that bag out in all directions from the top of Mount Everest. Okay, you got that picture? He said, what do you think are the chances that if my great-great-grandchild were to come to the top of Mount Everest in exactly 100 years to the minute from the time I did that, that watch would be sitting on the peak of Mount Everest, put back completely together, completely correctly, running perfectly, and on the exactly correct time? What do you think the odds are? What do you think the chances are that that would be the case? And would you be willing to bet something valuable to you that that would or could happen? Okay? And so here I am listening to this in the audience seeking, you know, I've just thrown everything overboard and I'm seeking. And he said, well, the odds of that happening, and he gave the exact mathematical number, and you can still find John Clayton online. I think he's an old man now. But he gave the number, and he said the odds of that happening with the watch are astronomically better than all this stuff just happening. And he said it changed me from the most avid opponent of anything spiritual or believing in God to that becoming the most important thing in my life, my relationship with God. And then he went on to tell how it had changed him into this loving, kind person and which he never was before, et cetera. And the reason I'm telling you this is because basically that's what happened to me. Not with the trying to prove the point of view that there is no God, but from the point of view of becoming broken, throwing everything overboard, seeking again, having an experience that transformed me from the inside out, and coming to know that living in love in the present moment, plugged in to God, source, love, in loving relationship with God, source, love, is beyond my wildest dreams of how I can feel every day, my relationships, my success. It is success without anything else. But when you have that, all these incredible things seem to happen that you never could force to happen when I was living focused on the end result expectations through willpower. Okay? So, after I was transformed, I started teaching everybody that, or trying to, and it very rarely worked. And I was kind of, you know, a little bit disillusioned with that at first, because I thought, here I am, I've got this secret to what really everybody wants, but nobody can seem to attain. And I keep telling everybody what it is and what you have to do, but nobody can do it. And I gave one example of that in the book. There's many of them, but the gentleman who I shared that with in my counseling office, and he said sarcastically, he's a very nice man, by the way, he said, oh, thanks a lot, Doc. I'll just start that right after lunch. and I stopped him because we'd gotten to be decent friends, and I knew he was a really nice, kind, good man. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Did I offend you in some way? Why are you saying it like that? You know? And he said, well, the main reason I'm here is I've not been able to do that my whole life. Of course I want that. Of course I know that to live in love and truth and out of internal programming of love and, you know, of course I want that. Doesn't everybody want that? But for the life of me, I've never been able to do it. And I found that was usually the case. And so that kind of became my mission. Was I thought, what better thing could I ever do with my life than if I could find, if God would lead me to a way that people really could do that in their life. And I believe that's what the book is. Now, until now, the great majority of people have done that kind of with me holding their hand, which I know is different. So we're going to have to see, you know, how it works out this way. I hope you will become part of our community. We have I say in the book that I'm wanting to start a movement, okay, and I am. And I'm so excited and passionate about that. And we're going to try to do that. And it is going to be a not-for-profit kind of thing. And the website for that, if you're interested, is beyondwillpowertogether.com. Okay? And I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know when we're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to do it. Okay, and I'm not looking for followers. Believe me, the last thing you want is to follow me, and the last thing I want is for you to follow me, all right? But I am looking for people to be fellow travelers with, shoulder to shoulder, okay? Arm in arm, loving each other, supporting each other, a community. Okay, and that website is brand new. There's not a whole lot of stuff even there. But if you will opt in and give us your email, we're not going to try to sell you anything. This is going to be a not-for-profit thing anyway. But that's how we'll communicate. And the first communication will be, welcome. We don't know what the heck we're going to do here, basically. And so if you have ideas please share, because this is not an Alex and then you follow me. This, if this works the way it needs to, it'll be all of us together. Okay? And I'm so, so very excited about that. And I invite you to become part of that. And you know what? If whatever we all decide to do together doesn't resonate with you, no problem. No problem. But at least you can be in contact with us and see at least what's happening. But we would really, really, really love your ideas and feedback, okay? Because I don't think there's anything more important we could do in this world right now than what we're hoping to do here. Okay. I am going to – that's all I'm going to say for the time being. Well, let me say one more thing. I'm sorry. One more thing. I would highly, 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 and about 100 more highly – recommend that you give yourself the opportunity to have a transformational aha before you start pulling out those tools and trying to do it manually. Okay? You can always do it manually. Or at the very least, while you're doing the tools, also try to have a transformational aha. That's what happened to me, and it's happened to, I would say, maybe 50% of people that I've worked with in time, and it's just really, really cool. It's not a near-death experience, but maybe it's in that same stratosphere. It's where everything in you kind of automatically changes, like someone ripped out one software package and put in another one. And all of a sudden, all those things that you couldn't feel or think or do, you're feeling, thinking, and doing. And there's no effort involved. It's like, whoa, man, what is the deal here? And that's how Hope was with me. She said, man, first time I looked in your eyes, I knew this is not the same man I have known up until now. And I didn't do that. God did it. Love did it, okay? So I would highly recommend that. So, I mean, feel free to use the tools. I mean, they're there because they work and they're good, and I've spent a long time developing those. But at least also give yourself the opportunity to have a transformational aha, even if it's after you're done with the tools and you feel transformed. They even happen then sometimes and take you to a whole nother level. So, okay, Kathy, I think I'm ready to try to answer some questions if we have any.
Yes, we do. Let me explain, first of all, how it works. I do see we have one hand raised already, so keep your hand up and I will get to you first. But for the rest of you who may not know how this works, we have people on the phone as well as people listening on the web, so there are two different ways to ask questions. For those on the web, it's kind of intuitive. You'll see a box on your screen. You can key in your question, press the send button. I'll see those questions, and I will ask your question for you. If you're on the phone, press star 2 to raise your hand. That's the only hard thing to remember is star 2, and I'll try to remind you as we go along. So then your hand will raise, and I'll see a little hand, which now I see 4, by the way. I'll see a hand next to your phone number, and I'll be opening your lines in order and letting you know by telling you basically things like maybe what state you're in and the last 4 digits of your phone number. We would love for you to introduce yourself to Alex. I will not be calling out names because some people would prefer to remain anonymous. So, key in your question on the web and press send, or press star 2 on your telephone keypad, and we will start with New York. If your phone ends in 6707, your line is open.
Hi, thank you. I'm here. First of all, can you say the name of that website again?
It's beyondwillpowertogether.com.
Thank you. Okay, so I just got to say thank you a bazillion times. Thank you. I could listen to you talk all night long.
Well, thanks. You ought to have a conversation with my wife.
And I actually sent an email, and I don't know if it'll get to you because of your talk last week. Really was very interesting about the joy thing.
And,
here's my question. So I'm dealing with my husband, who, like your wife, I want to keep him out of the house. He's shutting down emotionally. I mean, he's never really been there emotionally. He's always been kind of closed off. What do I do to help him open up? Well, this Beyond Willpower, I have the book. I haven't read it yet. I haven't even looked at it yet. But and I'm doing the healing course for myself. So is it going to help me in this book how to help him?
Well, the answer is you need to do the Beyond Willpower process yourself. Okay?
Okay. Yep.
And if you do it and stick with it, it's going to change you. Okay. Now, you and your husband are connected. And I don't just mean metaphorically. You are literally connected. You are energetically connected to the degree that you are constantly affecting even each other's physiology and don't even realize it. So what affects you is going to affect him. And I can't tell you how many times people have had a transformation. And it starts to transform their spouse as well. In fact, that happened with Hope and I some too. But you're not guaranteed that. And that's one thing we talk about in the book. With love, all bets are off. You may get the result you're looking for. You may get a 180-degree, totally different result. Okay? With love, all bets are off. All right? So that's your job, is to live in present and love related to your husband after transforming yourself internally. And then whatever your husband decides to do is his gig, not yours. But your gig is to love him truly, and we talk about what that is in the book, forever. No matter what he does, no matter what he doesn't do, to love him forever. Now, I'm not saying you're necessarily going to live with him forever or stay with him. I mean, if somebody told me, but Alex, I'm being abused, I'd be the first person to say, get the heck out of there tonight if possible, okay? But you got to keep loving him. Even if you leave them, you've got to keep loving them, or it will eat you alive inside, all right?
Okay, I get that.
So you transform yourself, and then and you act toward him in love no matter what he does, and you're committed to love him for the rest of your life no matter what he does or doesn't do. And you probably can't do that now. Most people, they literally can't do that until they have this internal transformation. And that's what
wonderful.
The book is about, is you've got to have this internal transformation, okay?
Yeah, that's what I've been looking for, so this is perfect.
Okay. And so go to that website and contact us so that, you know, we can all talk about this stuff together and help each other.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, next, if you are in New Jersey on a cell phone, 1577. Your line is open.
Hi, good evening. Hi, Alex. This is Dietra Rao. How are you?
Hi, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
I did read the book. I have it. And my whole question, even through reading it, was how do you bridge that gap, or how do you navigate that gap between you're trying to get to that point where you're in love all the time, and but you're actually not there? Like, I feel like I'm your younger son, when his older brother Harry was climbing up the tree, and he was like, "Come on up, you can do it!"
Right.
To George, and I'm like, I hear you saying that, and I'm like, I just, even though I read the entire book and everything, and I'm like, I'm still, I don't know how I'm gonna manage that, even to try to be in love for like the 5 minutes or 1 minute or whatever.
Well, you may have the wrong goal. Your goal is not to live in the present in love, period, and perfectly, and forever and ever, amen. Your goal is two things. To live in the it's one thing. Live in the present in love for the next 30 minutes as best you can. That's it. It's not to do it right. It's to do it the best you can. Now, right now, the best you can, let's say we're on a 0 to 10 scale. Maybe the best you can right now is a 1, which is, I was probably below a 1 when I hit bottom in 1988, all right? But let's say you're at a 1, all right? No problem. Live in the present moment as best you can at a 1 for the next 30 minutes. And with no guilt, no shame, no condemnation, no unforgiveness, no judgment, no, I did the best I could. A 1 was the best I could. But that was all my goal was to do the best I can. All right? Now, as you deprogram and reprogram with the transformational aha or the tools or both, that 1, it may jump up to a 7. In, who knows, a week, a month, 40 days, all right? Or it may go from a 1 to a 2 to a 3 to a 4. It may go up slow and gradually. But that's the whole point of the book. If I was just saying do this in willpower, man, forget it. Don't even buy the book, because there's already 1,000 of them out there saying the same thing, and nobody can do it, and I couldn't either. That's the whole point of the book, is now we have the process and the tools to do it. Until you're deprogrammed and reprogrammed, don't worry about it. Just do the best you can, because that's your goal, is just do the best you can. Okay.
That definitely, yeah, I was going to say that just by you saying that, that just relieved a ton of stress.
Yeah,
it really did, because I was like freaking out. But it definitely did relieve a lot of stress. And then my second question is about the questions. There are like 12 different categories and then 4 in each category. Are we just reading through those with no expectation, just reading, and then that's it, and that's doing the deprogramming part along with the other 2 tools?
You are reading them, but while you're reading them, you're taking the temperature of your conscious mind and your unconscious mind, and you're saying, okay, I'm reading this, but do I really believe this? In other words, can I read this truthfully and say, yeah, man, no doubt, I mean that? Yeah, no, yes, I mean that. I put my hand on the Bible. You hook me up to a lie detector. I mean it, all right? But on the other hand, if you are reading it or starting to or thinking about it and saying, yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, the lie detector would go crazy if I said that one. Well, that means that's a place you've got to heal. That's a place you've got to deprogram and reprogram. And so you do that with the tools, and then you come back and say, okay, can I say that now? No, not yet. All right, let me use the tools some more. At some point, whether it's in an hour or a week, you're going to come back and say, yeah, I can say that now. And so you do. And then you go to the next one and do the same thing. Usually for most people, when they're starting this out, there'll be probably about 10 places in those statements, either categories or individual statements, that they'll identify as, I've got some work to do here. Some more, some less, but on average, probably about 10 places. So that shows you what you need to fix, and then you use the tools to do that.
Thank you.
You are most welcome.
Okay, we're going to take one more phone question and then go over to the web for a little bit. So if you are in California, 4117, the last four digits of your phone, your line is open.
Hello, everybody. My name is Martin. Hello, Alex.
Hi, Martin. How are you?
I am that's an interesting question.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what's your question?
I haven't determined that yet.
Okay.
I have started.
Well, let's go to what's your question.
Yes. I read your book, and I started with the Success Blueprint, and I, using the different methods, tools, to go through the process, and I feel like I'm like a fist bottle, you know, that's been shaken, and then you know, the top has been unscrewed and stuff is just flowing out.
Yeah.
And I haven't actually found that these methods like ground me. It has been hard for me to be grounded at all. Usually
okay.
I meditate and I felt like I haven't reached that yet. And it just feels like there's so much coming out. And I was just wondering, I actually have reintroduced the healing codes, and it felt like it brought me down a little bit. But
uh-huh.
My question is that something that when you work with your patients, that in the beginning that is something that will show up, that it would first, like, it's not necessarily like I'm going to, like, find my peace, I'm going to do this for
mm-hmm.
for some days and days and days, and I'm going to find my peace, but that just things kind of, like, start to flow out, and it will take some time till things are processed and peace will come in.
Yes. Good question. I would say probably 95% of the time, people experience some version of what you are experiencing. In other words, one way I might say it is the great majority of the time there is chaos before you get to the new paradigm, the new software program, the new peace and love, probably 95% of the time. That's one of the reasons I'm so big about at least trying and giving some time to have the transformational aha. Because typically with the transformational aha, you don't go through a long chaos time. It's almost like, you know, Einstein's vision of riding on a beam of light. It's just wham, and everything changes, okay? So that's one of the reasons for that. But, yes, I would say the great majority of people go through some degree and some form of chaos before getting to the other side. And to me, that is completely normal because, you know, using the computer analogy again, your computer gets a virus, and I've never seen anybody have a computer virus that did not go through chaos before they finally got it fixed or got a new computer or got a technician or installed the software program to get rid of the viruses or whatever. And I got to tell you, I've seen some hilarious things with people who got computer viruses, picking up that computer and throwing it across the room and all kinds of stuff. And this is a similar thing. Once you start opening these doors that some have been shut for years, some have been shut for decades, some have been shut for generations throughout many people in your ancestry, okay, and are unconscious. You don't even know you have them. And all you experience are the feelings and the change in your physiology when they start coming out, all right? But to me, that is a very positive thing, and I would say slow down. Take deep breaths. Try to become grounded. The best thing I know to become grounded is the heart screen meditation. At least when you get good at it. Now, it takes some time to get good at it, but once you get good at it, that's the best grounding thing I know. So I would say slow down, take it one step at a time, at least while you're in the 40-day process. Also give yourself the opportunity for a while every day for that transformational aha, not putting pressure on yourself to have it, but just meditating on those principles, being open to it happening. So that's what I'd say.
Okay. So now here's the big question. Since you said all that, and I understand that really well, but for people like me who are in the beginning and who are like, now suddenly all these emotions, I allow these emotions because of the process, there's always a pattern where I or maybe other people too in lives where we kind of get afraid and like say, oh, shit, you know, I can't go on with this and I give up. So what would you say about what to do to get to that tipping point, you know, to the other side so I can like really embrace that information and not give up before, you know?
To me, that's a good question, Martin. To me, the answer to that are the meditation principles for the transformational aha. And they are listed. They are listed, I think, all on one page or two pages. There's 8-10 of them or so. I don't remember exactly. But, man, I would copy that page. I would blow it up. I would keep one in your pocket and one on your mirror, and every time you start to think that, oh, heck, you know, I would say, okay, wait a minute. I can quit this at any time, but before I do, let me read over these things again and decide, why am I doing this in the first place? Do I believe this is the truth or do I not? If I do not, quit. But if you believe it's the truth, you got to keep trying. Because if it's the truth, that's the only path to what you really want in your life. So if you give up on that, you're giving up on your life. And I don't mean the tools in the book. Those are just tools. I mean the principles. Mm-hmm. You know, that focusing on expectations of an end result spike your stress. So you got to quit doing that. Because stress is where everything bad comes from. That that the odds of trying to change something or accomplish something through your willpower that you haven't ever been able to do before without deprogramming and reprogramming first in your subconscious are 1,000,000 to 1. And that's Stanford, okay? I mean, these aren't lightweights. These aren't some kook in his garage. These are some of the best doctors and scientists on the planet, and more of them are saying this stuff all the time. And the ancient manuscripts said it first, that are 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years old. Okay, so that's what I would do. I would pull that thing out and say, okay, wait, I can stop any time, but is this the truth or is it not the truth? And if it is the truth, forget the tools, forget the 40-day process, forget anything Alex says about how to do it. I've got to figure out a way to do this in my life somehow if this is the truth.
Right. And that sounds already like two things again between giving up because of fear and also, like you're saying, believing that, you know, being able to check into the heart and say, this is true. And that's what I believe. This is true.
Yeah.
What you brought here into the world is true to me. And otherwise, I wouldn't be on the phone right now.
Well, thank you. And think about it this way too, Martin. What you're saying about you know, I feel bad, and then because I feel bad, oh shoot, and then because of that, maybe I'll quit. That's exactly
right.
What we're talking about in the book. That is expectations of a certain end result through willpower. And so when something else happens besides that, it puts you into anger and anxiety. That's exactly what the research says.
Exactly. It's that instant gratification thing.
Well, it's our pain pleasure program.
Yeah.
It's our,
mm-hmm.
our stimulus
yeah.
effect, cause effect, pain pleasure programming. So when we're doing that, one thing that this may help you or it may make you angry, but one thing I do, as I said in the book, when that happens to me, is I say, Alex, you're acting like a 5-year-old. That's 5-year-old thinking.
All right.
I'm not supposed to be doing that now at 50. That's 5-year-old stuff. Come on, man. Grow up. Give up the end result. Folks, you know, whatever it is, even if it's painful.
Right. Great.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Alex. And,
thank you, Martin. Bless you.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, we're going to go over to the web and see what we have over there. And our first question is, it's about the recording. Someone from Italy wrote saying that it would be 2 o'clock in the morning there when this call is taking place. And will there be recording? Well, yes, there will. And let me tell you where that will be. And it will be on DrAlexanderLloyd.com, the same place where you got your free gifts for the ordering in the pre-launch. You saw on that page the dial-in information for this call, and the recording will replace that dial-in information tomorrow if I have power. We're having a big snowstorm, so if I have power, the replay will be up there tomorrow morning. So,
hey, Kathy?
Yes?
Can they get to that just from beyondwillpowernow.com, which is the one in the book?
Yes, they can.
Okay.
But you will have to put something on the end of that because since you – registered, or since you bought the book during the pre-launch, you all got some special gifts. Other people do not have that page name. So if you go to beyondwillpowernow.com, then go ahead and click on Beyond Willpower on the book. Then at the top of the page, put hyphen behind that URL. It will end with beyond-willpower. Just put hyphen gifts, G-I-F-T-S. That's the same place you went to get your free gifts, and that's the same place where the recording will be. So, yes, you can certainly get there by going to beyondwillpowernow.com. You'll just have to fiddle with the little URL at the top, and make sure that you go to the Beyond Willpower page, then put hyphen gifts, and you'll see everything right there. And if you want to re-listen or re-download anything, everything is going to be there for a long time, and plus the recording of this call. So here's another question. Hi, Alex. Thank you for doing this. How can you live in love when you are in a lot of emotional pain, when you feel nothing is going right for you in spite of you doing everything you can? I'm talking emotional distraught where you cannot do anything.
You probably can't. That's the whole purpose of the book. If you could do it through willpower, there wouldn't have been a need for the book, because there's already been 1,000 books that said live in the present in love with your willpower, okay? So you probably can't. That's why you need to follow the process for a transformational aha, or use the tools, do the 40-day process or all of that in order to deprogram and reprogram so that then you can. And even then you'll never do it perfectly, and that's not your goal. Your goal is to do the best you can to live in love in the present, not to do it perfectly, to do it the best you can, whether that's a 1 out of 10, a 9 out of 10, or something in between, with no guilt, no shame, just, hey, next 30 minutes, I'll get back on the horse. Maybe I'll do a little bit better. We'll see. But regardless, my goal is not to do it at a perfectly or even at a 7 or a 5, but just the best I can right now while I continue to deprogram and reprogram more and more from fear to love internally.
And from Fraser Park, I don't know what state that's in, but I don't need to know. From Fraser Park, how do I overcome the shock of remembering a damaging event when I have already decided to forgive?
You need to heal the event, and that's you use the tools or again, the transformational aha to do that. And the shock, what you're saying is shock. Shock is just an extreme form of fear. So that tells you, okay, that place still has human hard drive viruses, fear-based memories. So I need to get to work with the tools on that and get those viruses out and new software in so that I can do that.
Okay, and from Littleton, probably Littleton, Colorado, maybe, where do I get the healing code?
The healing code book is everywhere books are sold, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, whatever. We have a larger healing code package that has specific codes for specific issues. You can find that on our website. What would be the best website for that, Kathy?
TheHealingCodes.com.
TheHealingCodes.com.
Easy to remember. TheHealingCodes.com.
All right.
And from Santa Cruz, how does the relationship codes fit in with Beyond Willpower?
Well, I would use the relationship codes instead of the energy medicine tool in Beyond Willpower to work on relationships, which are the key to everything. Because those relationship codes are more powerful than the energy medicine tool in Beyond Willpower. But use the Beyond Willpower process. I would use the Relationship Issues Finder test to help you with that, which is free on our website as well.
And where on Oprah.com does anybody talk about Beyond Willpower? Thank you for your time. Could I answer that, Alex?
Yeah.
Okay. I posted a link to the article that's on Oprah.com on our Facebook page. I thought it was on BeyondWillPowerNow.com, but I'm going to make sure because I might have forgotten to put that on there. But if I did, that link will be on there tomorrow so that you'll be able to read that article. It is excellent. It's just really good. So if
yeah, they did a great
now,
job of that.
Yeah, they really did. If it's not there right now, you might be able to find it on Dr. Alexander Lloyd on Facebook, if you happen to be on Facebook. Many people are not, but many people are. So the article is, the link is posted there also. But it will be on beyondwillpowernow.com tomorrow, if it's not there already. So, from Taipei, both books are great, yet complicated. The instructions are to follow so that I could feel the effect. Would you do a walkthrough video demo from beginning to end so that I can almost mimic what you do? Thank you very much.
I will consider that. Now, we have that on the Healing Codes, and I think you can find that even on YouTube on the Healing Codes about how to do the Healing Codes from start to finish. But the Healing Codes are so simple. I mean, you could really teach somebody in 5 minutes over a hamburger how to do the Healing Codes. Beyond Willpower has different aspects. You don't have to do them all. You can pick and choose. You can do one and not the other. You can do part of one and not the other. Okay, so that's a much more difficult question. I'll pray about that and consider it. We just understand it's been years getting this book out, and we have been absolutely buried with it coming out. And I've had a lot of other things on hold while it's been coming out. So the point is, I'm really busy, and so I will pray about that and meditate and see if I can figure out a way to do that would be simple. I will commit to do that.
And from excuse me, from Kansas City, this person says, so I'm one of the small percentage of people who knew that love is the key to happiness. I had a precious experience with God when I was 13. I help the homeless, love, and have compassion for everyone, but I'm so sad and so lonely. I feel I can't receive love. My multiple marriages have all been men who depended way too much on me. My relationship test showed very low scores on peace and joy. My current husband says he has just been pretending to love me. I felt today for the first time after reading your book to capture every thought, every resentment, and restate it as a lie that is not controlling me, to refocus on a loving experience and accept God's forgiveness for not being able to love perfectly. Thank you for hope again.
Well, you're very kind, and I greatly appreciate that. Let me share one thing about that. You know, the genie questions in the book that I've been asking people for more than 20 years in conjunction with this material. Of the people I've talked to over 20 years, less than 1% answer the genie question with an internal state. Over 99% answer it with a physical or external circumstance. But even among the people who know the right answer, who answer it with an internal state, a very small percentage of those people are actually able to live it. All right? And that's what this is all about, is not just knowing the right answer. Now, that's great, and that's, you know, you might say with the old expression, that gets you halfway there maybe, although maybe it's not half. But we don't want half. We don't want 10%. We want the whole way. We want to not just know the right answer. We want to live it. And that's what the book is about, is yeah, knowing what the right answer is, but then let's live it. So thank you for your kind comments.
Good. Let's go back to the phones. If you are in California and the last 4 digits of your phone number are 8662, your line is open.
Hi, Dr. Alex. This is Sherry.
Hi.
Thank you for this wonderful book. It's been great. I'm almost done with it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. The vows. In the book, you have it written as well as if I can only do this or have that.
The life vow.
Yeah, the life vow. And, you know, I had a really difficult time drinking water, which sounds really kind of silly, but, you know, I wonder if a vow could be phrased in a different way. I will never, because as a child, I was probably 8 or 9, and I said, I will never drink. But I wasn't talking about water. I was talking about alcohol.
Yeah.
Because of circumstances. Could that possibly be tied to my not drinking or liking to drink water?
Oh, great comment. Great comment. And the answer is you had better believe it could. Yes, absolutely. And I have seen it many times that work just that way. Not just with the drinking thing and alcohol, but with all kinds of different issues. I will never need again. And they meant it like I'll never need help with my homework again. But the way it translated in their life is I'll never need anything from anybody, including money, or a job, or love, or anything. And so the person is in, you know, 30, 40, 50, wondering, what in the world is wrong with me? And they had a life vow that was, I will never need again about a specific thing, but it generalized to everything. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I have one more question, please.
Mm-hmm.
The reprogramming statement.
Mm-hmm.
I like the long one.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, there's too many that you can't do them all in one sitting. But are you supposed to do them like with the four or just do one of the four? I'm kind of confused about those, how to do them and when to do them.
Yeah, what I would do, I think, is maybe just sort of have your pencil in hand and just sort of in a cursory way almost, you know, read through all of them. Almost kind of quickly, just to see what they are. But go however quickly it feels best for you. And maybe with your pencil, just sort of, if anything sticks out to you, either as a negative that you can't say or a positive. Oh, yeah, man, I really feel that one in a good way, you know. Or if there's any of them that you feel something in your body, like, oh, man, when I say that one, I feel kind of a tightness in my chest or something in my forehead or my stomach or something like that. And then go back and just without any timetable at all, at your own pace, just start with one, okay? You don't have to do them in order. You don't have to do all of them in a particular category. I've had people – see, I used to customize all this when I did it one-on-one with clients. So there were clients that sometimes that they never had the first clue that all those existed. Maybe with them I would talk about four statements. Because I knew what was going on with them. And I would say, okay, can you make this statement? And I knew they couldn't and mean it. And they would say, I mean, I can say it, but if you want me to say it and mean it, no. Okay? So we would work on only like four statements and then, okay, that's it for that. So, but you know, when you put out a book, when I'm not there with you, I can't do that because I don't know what your deals are. So you've kind of got to figure that out for yourself. But it may be out of all that stuff, there's only three statements that are really that relevant to you. So, no, don't feel like you've got to do all of them or dwell on all of them or do them at one sitting or any of that. Just sort of go through prayerfully and see – okay, where are my potholes? Okay, where are my potholes? And maybe you'll find three, maybe you'll find 10. I said before the average is probably about 10. But no, I wouldn't I wouldn't put any have-tos at all about those statements. I would just sort of read through them once and then say, okay, how do I feel good about going back through these? And do it that way. There isn't a wrong way.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh,
yeah,
you're most welcome.
I finally see a core. I just have gotten a couple of ahas, and I'm almost finished with it, and I just am so excited about it and scared all the same time.
Well, thank you, and please become part of our community so we can communicate.
Thank you, Dr. Alex.
Thank you.
And if you are in Texas and your last four digits of your phone number are 6033, your line is open.
Hi, Dr. Alex. This is Dina.
Hi, Dina. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I've been using the healing codes for close to 10 years now. And I met one of your coaches on an airplane from Dallas to Boston one year, and luck would have it, we sat next to each other, and she told me about the healing codes, and when I got home, I bought the series and have been using them ever since.
Well, good for you. I hope they've helped some.
They absolutely have. Thanks again for the book. And my question tonight is just trying to get an understanding, some clarity around the success desire, success goal, and stress goal, and really understanding the difference and kind of what we need to be able to set for ourselves.
Yeah. A stress goal is one in the future. Not the next 30 minutes, farther than that, usually in the future, some period in the future, that you have an expectation regarding this or that happening, meaning you are invested or have already taken ownership or are wanting to take ownership of a certain end result in the future. And then the second part is you're going to try to make that happen through your willpower. Okay? That's a stress goal. The other part of it is that it needs to be even your success desires, which are in the future, need to be in truth and love. So that's the other part, is if you have a stress goal, it's one that also a component of that is if it is not in truth and it's not in love, meaning it's selfish, it's not win-win-win for everybody concerned, it is all about you really without very much regard to how it affects anybody else. Just, I want this, almost like a five-year-old, okay? A success goal is one that is focused in the present in love and is in truth, meaning it is possible, the practical facts of the world, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And you are giving up the end result desire, even though that is what you would like to have happen, you are not taking ownership of that. You are saying, this is end result is not my gig. You know what? It may not even be what's best for me. I may get halfway there and realize, boy, that's crazy. That's not what I really want at all anymore. How did I ever want that? Okay? And by the way, that happens all the time. So that's not my gig, the end result, and I give that up to God, to source, to love. My gig is to do the present in love, whatever that is, walking in the direction of that end result desire that is also in love and truth. So that's the difference, is the stress is focused on the end result. The success is focused in the present and love. The stress may not be in truth and love. The success is in truth and love. The stress takes ownership of that end result. This is what I have to have happen. The success says, you know what? I don't really have to have anything happen. Okay? My goal is just to do this filing or to make these phone calls or to do the laundry or to do my job at work as best I can in love, and then whatever comes from that comes from that. That's the difference. Does that make sense? Did you have another question about that?
No, I think that helps explain and clarify what I needed. I really appreciate
now,
it.
Now, a success desire is absolutely fine and great, meaning, okay, this is the thing in the future that I think would be the best thing for me to have happen right now, and that's the direction I'm going to go in for as long as I feel that way, and I do believe it's in love. That's wonderful, and in fact, you need to have a success desire in the future because that determines you need to know what to do now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the focus is the present in love now, whether I ever get that end result desire or not.
Great. So the desire is identifying the future perhaps that we hope for.
That's right.
In love, and then it actually, in a way, somewhat creates this path for us as
yeah.
our success goal is we're working our way down that path.
Yeah.
We may or may not get there or may go in some other direction, but at least it steps us out in that direction.
Yeah, that's right. But my goal is to do the next 30 minutes in love as best I can. Not whether that end result ever happens or not.
Right. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
And if you look at the big picture of that, once you deprogram and reprogram so that you actually can do that pretty good, right now you may not be able to do it worth the flip, but once you actually deprogram and reprogram so that you can do that pretty good, what we're talking about is living in the present in love, joy, and peace the majority of the time. How many people do you know that ever get to that? Almost none that I've ever known. My mom was one of the most wonderful people I've ever known on the face of the planet. But, man, she did not experience peace a whole lot. You know, and with my dad, it wasn't peace. It was a different one. His was, he was so self-absorbed that he offended people all the time. He wasn't trying to, but he did. But the number of people I know that day in, day out, hour in, hour out, 30 minutes in, 30 minutes out, live in love, joy, and peace. And it's not an act. It's not a painted on face. It is who they are from the core of their being. I've not known many people like that. And what we're talking about is you becoming that person.
Great. Great.
Okay.
I look forward to it.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Thank you. Kathy, maybe let's do a couple more and then maybe wrap it up. I'm going to have to get to my family here before long.
Okay, we have another phone question from California. A Skype user, last four digits 0240. Your line is open.
Hello, is your name?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, thank you, doctor. I'm actually calling from Taiwan. This is a Skype call.
Oh.
I guess the route is through California.
Well, thank you.
This is a good time to ask my question. I have the same question, but it's slightly different. I've been trying to do the exercise to determine the ultimate success goal, and then break it down to the success goals for the next 30 minutes. Including love and 100% under my control down in the present moment. And a lot of times I sort of screw up there. It's like, I don't know, it's just 30 minutes. Sometimes it's a 30 minute thing. Sometimes I'm not totally sure if it's in truth, in love. And sometimes I don't know if it's totally under my control. That one is a little easier. But the truth being in love is slightly different. Sometimes I get off track there. How do I determine?
Well, truth is just the practical facts of the situation. In other words, your boss says, I need you to file these files for the next 30 minutes. Okay, that's the truth. I work here. He's my boss. He's telling me to file these files for the next 30 minutes. So the truth is just practical facts of the situation. So the truth is, yeah, if I'm going to continue working here, and what he's asking me is certainly within reason, that's the truth. Then, okay, then I need to file files for the next 30 minutes. Love is how you file the files. Are you doing it cussing your boss out? Are you doing it, man, why am I in this dead-end job? Are you doing it, you know, or are you doing it like I was cleaning the toilets after the transformation instead of before the transformation, where I was cleaning the toilets and singing for joy? And I wasn't trying to. I didn't even know I was until Hope said something about it. It was just spontaneous. And so basically whatever I did, great majority of the time, I was happy. I was doing it in love and joy and peace. So if you aren't doing that, if you can't do that, you've still got some stuff you need to fix. So go back with the reprogramming statements. Take the Success Issues Finder test. See, okay, where are my potholes? Where are my human hard drive viruses that need to be fixed so that I can do that? And let me get the tools out, the heart screen meditation, the energy medicine, the reprogramming statements, and get to work and fix those things until I can go through all those reprogramming statements, no problem, till I take the test and I'm plus three, then plus five, then plus seven on everything, so that I can do the next 30 minutes in love. And it's not a chore. It's not by willpower. It's how I'm programmed now. It's almost effortless.
All right. So the truth is something that's tangible. It's something that there's no thinking and no feeling involved. It's just that.
Yeah, that's right.
Some external facts.
It's just the facts of the situation. If I don't remember if I put this example in the book or not, but if an 80-year-old man told me that he wanted as his success desire to become a starting National Football League quarterback, he might be able to do that all day long in love. But I would have to question the truth. Is it physically possible for you at 75 to just physically do that? Well, then if he unbuttoned his shirt and said, Alex, I've been working out for 30 years to get ready for that, and he opened his shirt and he looked like Mr. Universe or something, well, that would totally change the truth. And I would say, oh, my goodness, look at you. Okay, man, go for it. So, yeah, that's just the practical facts of the situation.
Okay, so if somebody is sick, and I would just accept this person is sick without knowing if he will recover or not.
That's the way it is, yes. That's the truth of the situation, yes.
Okay, and then I just focus on doing whatever makes sense with love.
That's right. Then your focus is on acting toward them in love, regardless of the result, whether they live or die, whether they're nice to you, or every time you try to do something to help them, they grump at you. I mean, so many times we do things for a certain end result, even help people. We go to help people, but we want them mm-hmm. to say, oh, thank you so much for helping me, you know. And if they don't, if they act like they could care less that we helped them, we're offended. Well, we weren't doing it for them. We were doing it for us, for the compliments, for us helping them, or for other people to know that we're helping them, or myself, or something. But when I get irritated, if they grumped at me, that shows I was doing it for the wrong reasons. I wasn't doing it in love at all.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. All right, that clarifies that. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay. Let me just make a little announcement, because we have like a zillion questions on the web, which we're not going to be able to have time to get to. So I'm going to try to create a little FAQ section at beyondwillpowernow.com. I'll get with Alex and see if we can answer some of these questions and make a little FAQ section. And just remember, we have another call coming up on the workbook. So if we do not get to your question and you do not see it in the FAQ section that has not been created yet, jot it down, and we're going to have another opportunity for you to ask your questions, because we're just not going to get to them all. So,
yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say, and that I believe the one on the workbook is scheduled for 2 hours, where this one was scheduled for 1 hour. So we'll have even longer that night to get into more and more of these questions.
Good, good, good. And I'm going to try to see if we can get an email out to everyone very soon about the replay when it's up, so we can tell you exactly where to go to find the replay of tonight's call. So do you have time for one more question, Alex?
Yeah, and let me add another thing, too.
Sure.
If you go to beyondwillpowernow.com and give us your email address so we can be in contact with you, probably one of the first things that we're going to do is have a couple of meetings like this where we brainstorm and talk about the principles and that sort of thing. So that's another way you can get your questions answered and be in contact with us.
Cool. Okay, one more question from New Jersey. 1577, the last four digits of your phone number, and your line is open.
Thank you so much for taking my question. This is Dee Terrell again, and I'm just trying to – it's surrounding around the goal part of it, and if you feel like you've done it like through the four processes, it's been in love and truth and all of those things – how do you – I'm trying to think of how to ask this question. How do you still not be – if you still feel like you're attached to trying to get the result,
mm-hmm.
then you still need to do work on that.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, at the end of the 40 days, about 75 or 80% of people – the deprogramming and reprogramming takes about 40 days about a particular issue. And that's one way you know that you're done, is that at the end of the 40 days, number one, those negative blocks are still not bothering you. The positive, the end result success desire that you think you would like to achieve, you believe, honestly, hey, I think I can do this, and I'm ready to get started, okay? And then the other one, and I lost my train of thought. it'll come back. Oh, man, I had that. I should have answered that part of it first. What is the third one? What is the other one? Let's see. You were asking about... what if you just don't, if the negative is still there, right?
No, actually, you know what? I was trying to figure out with this goal, because my background is in sales, so they always have you do a sales quota, and you have to get, like, so many. But I'm trying to get away from that and do it in this Beyond Willpower way.
I've got it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got it now. The other way you know that you're done is you don't have to try to give up the end result. You have given it up. And so if you have not given it up, you need to go another 40 days because you're not deprogrammed and reprogrammed yet.
Okay.
And then constantly, you know, make a copy of those transformational aha statements and constantly be going over those to remind yourself, okay, do I really believe this is the truth or not? You know, when I get focused on those end result sales quotas, wait a minute. If I'm focused on an end result as my goal, I'm spiking my stress. Okay, so that means next month it's going to be even harder for me to get the end result sales quotas because now I'm doing it with my stress spiked up even more. Where if I give up that end result, the stress goes away. I'm going to do a whole lot better job as a salesperson because I'm not stressed, okay? I'm going to come across differently to the client. I'm going to have more energy. I'm going to be more positive. They're going to be able to tell it's honest. You know, some people are intuitive, and they think, man, she was saying all the right words, but I think she was really just focused on getting my money, okay? It'll change everything. So that's the other reason you know that your deprogramming about a particular issue is done is it's not a big deal now to give up the end result. It's easy. In fact, maybe I've already done it. And I didn't even really try to do that, and I've already done it. Okay?
Okay.
So go another 40 days.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're most welcome. And I want to say one other thing, Kathy, before we stop here.
Okay.
You know, it's one of the, I guess as far as anything related to work, this Beyond Willpower thing is like the overriding mission of my life right now. It really has been all along, but even more so because finally, after 25 years, I was able to get this book out. And, you know, this book may or may not sell a lot of copies. I hope it does because everyone that's sold is an opportunity for someone to start living this way. But really, as far as money from selling books, I don't give a flip about that. But I am wanting to start this movement, which is what that nonprofit site is all about. But here's how I look at it. I had a good friend who was a very prestigious physicist and mathematician, and I was talking to him about this desire I have, this passion, this mission to start a movement of people living in the present and loved, et cetera, giving up the end result. And he said, Alex, it's not about marketing or sales or anything like that. He said the mathematics and physics of movements all throughout history is that if you have 144 people who are all in, as the expression goes, meaning they believe in this so much that they can't help but talk about it. They can't help but tell people at work and their neighbor and their spouse and their children and their parents and they are committed to it. They really are. They are committed to it. Whether they've ever stated it or not, they have a belief that this is the way for me to live, and I may not ever do it right, but I am committed to doing this for the rest of my life, come what may. He said, Alex, if you find 144 people like that, you will not be able to keep a movement from happening. So that's what I want to end with tonight, is I'm looking for 144 people not to follow me. That's the last thing you want to do, just ask my wife, but to join hands with me and Kathy and a number of others who are already all in, to really, for our own families and for the families of Germany and Europe and China and Russia and whatever, because I believe this absolutely can change everyone that touches it, that's willing to have an open mind and commit to living their life this way. So I'm looking for 144 people. So between now and the next event, which is for 2 hours, it's about the workbook, and we will talk about the workbook, but we'll do a lot of Q&A too. Maybe be thinking and praying about that until then. And do I feel called, okay, to be one of those 144? And if you're not, that's absolutely fine. But if you are, let me know that on that beyondwillpowertogether.com when we start communicating with you guys. Maybe just raise your hand. I mean, you don't. It's nothing that's going to be public. It's just between you and me. But hey, Alex, I'm just me. You know, I'm not a doctor, or I'm not this, or I'm not that, and none of that matters. But some people won't volunteer because they think they're not good enough, which is a lie in and of itself. But if you feel called to that, please let me know. Hey, I whatever I can do, I'm feeling called to this. Maybe being one of that 144 you're looking for. And that would be a great, great honor for me. That would make my day. But again, if that's not you, totally cool. Just throwing that out there. So anyway, thank you so much for buying the book, for being here. This is not the end of anything. This is the very, very, very start, all right? And that's what that other side is all about, is getting in regular communication. So we hope to help you for as long as you need help. And I just appreciate so very much your kind words, your encouragement. Many of you have contacted me. I would covet your prayers more than anything else, anything you could ever do. Prayer is the most important thing I do, and I would appreciate that more than anything. So God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Kathy, did you need anything else from me?
Not a thing. We're good.
Thank you, Kathy, for your wonderful work. Thank you, everyone. God bless you.
Thank you, Alex. Good night, everyone.